Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you were able to join me today. If you're a new listener, welcome. And on yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing, again, as I like to do from time to time, some basic Christian doctrine. And we're talking about the fall. We're talking about sin. And it's very, very important we understand sin and its effects and consequences, because there are many people, that's the unsaved primarily, that are looking around and shaking their head at how terrible the world is becoming. Well, it's never been a good place, but I take that back. I can't say that, because in the very beginning, when God created the earth and everything that He created, He said it was all good. And He planted Adam and Eve, or put them in a beautiful garden called the Garden of Eden. And it was a wonderful place of happiness, of all needs being supplied, and fellowship with God. But God created man in His own image, gave him a free will, and if you know the Genesis story, they willingly, voluntarily chose to rebel and disobey God. And because of the very nature of God, He's a just God, there are consequences to sin. In fact, if He did not punish sin, He would not be a just God. For example, just imagine a judge today. There's a murderer that stands before him. He, in cold blood, planned and deliberately worked out the details of murdering someone. Do you think the judge is going to look at him and say, well, you know, you've been a pretty good person until this point in time. I see no history of criminal activity. And so we're just going to let you go this time. We just want you to do better. I mean, that's something that would not be acceptable. There are laws in our land to punish criminals. And so just as I use that as an example, so God, because He is perfect justice, there had to be a consequence to sin. And that's why we have the drama, that the beautiful narrative that unfolds, God's love story to man in the Bible. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I was talking about a progression in transgression. In other words, there is a development of sin. And as the Word says, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. So it is well that we understand his techniques. He's not terribly inventive or creative, and he has found that his tricks work very well on unwitting mankind and even some Christians. If we're not aware, we slip up and fall every time because we do not appreciate the strength and the cunning of our adversary. So I just caution you there not to have fear, for Jesus has delivered us from all power of the enemy. We have power over him and are to use that authority, but do not belittle him or think that he is not capable of deceiving you, because we all are prey and open to that, except for the Lord's grace and his keeping power. So let's look at now, what is the progression of transgression? If you don't know the Word of God, you are open to deception. First of all, we see that there was planting a seed of doubt. Verse 1 in chapter 3 says of Genesis, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." That's actually a question. And so, as I said, he doesn't have any new tricks, the devil. So if you're aware, you won't let it happen. And we see in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 16 through 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So, first of all, there is a question. Has God said that you shall not eat? There's that doubt that enters first, a question. That's not terribly harmful, just a question. And in a question in itself is not harmful, is how we respond. All right, so secondly, first there's planting a seed of doubt. Secondly, adding to the word. There we see verse 2 and 3. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." See, God didn't say that. He didn't say anything about touching it. He said, don't eat of it. And so, as we look at the second chapter of the book of Genesis, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden." Note there that the Lord was addressing Adam. So we see the second step is that of, in the progression, is adding to the word. As I shared in verses 2 and 3, Eve said, spoke back to the serpent and said, God said, you shall not eat it nor touch it, lest you die. And of course, God didn't say anything about touching it. And then we see the next step is a contradiction of the word. Verse 4, you will not surely die. That was Satan's accusation. He was so bold as to accuse God of being a liar and a withholder. And this is something that we need to be very cautious of, because if we can go through trials and through difficult times in our lives and believe a lie that God is actually withholding something from you, what does the word say? He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before him. But sometimes when we have a delay in our prayers, we don't see answers that we want when we think we should have them, that what we'll do is we will sin to obtain that which you believe God is withholding. That happens many times in relationships. Instead of just waiting on God, people go ahead, much to their own sorrow, and end up sinning. Satan promised that by sinning against God, they would become like God. That's an absolute lie. And of course, it was disguised. So, beloved, it's important that we understand, and that's why that we need to know the word, that the enemy will try to contradict the word of God. He'll add to it. It's not any different than what he did with Jesus in the wilderness. That fourth step is entertaining the lie. In verse 6, it says, "When she saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise." Well, here now we see that he's encouraging her to get in the flesh. She saw with her eyes that it was good. So she had a choice to either trust God's protective warning or her own judgment. And, you know, she did not have the revelation that she was an image bearer of God. That's what the word says. In the beginning, God created man and woman in the image of God. He created them. She didn't understand that she was already in the image of God, but listened to that doubt, followed that lie that somehow, in some way, God was withholding from them. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Note that, and as I shared earlier, and that's when I read that scripture, God gave the command to Adam. Eve at that point wasn't created. So the serpent now, in his craftiness, addresses Eve, but Adam is standing right there. And sometimes we exaggerate a point and it becomes our reality. There's no addition or subtraction to the word that we can allow without suffering the consequences. And the word is perfect in its entirety. As for God, his way is perfect. His way is expressed in the word of God. And so we need to allow our spirit to stay in control if we want to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. And then the final step, let me just review those for you. There's the planting of the seed of doubt, there's adding to the word, contradiction of the word, entertaining the lie, and the fifth step is the actual transgression. Verse 6, it says, they ate the forbidden fruit. Eve believed Satan over God and chose pride over humility, partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which resulted in sinning against God. And tragically, Adam stood by silently, failing to lead his family in godliness. And that's one of the worst things a man can do. He said nothing. He did nothing. Just think, he could have stopped her. He said, no, Eve, don't eat. God had given headship to Adam, and sometimes today, men want headship, but not responsibility. Some men avoid their responsibility. They don't want to have a job or a wife or any kind of responsibility. They avoid all kinds of conflicts or anything to do with responsibility. But beloved, men were not created to do nothing. Sometimes men abandon their responsibility. Even if they become a Christian, they become a member of the church, God entrusts them with a wife, and they become a father, they get a job, and then they just abandon it, walk away. And some abuse that privilege. They just want to run things. They're not the boss they want to be, and so they just take that out on wives and children. When the Bible uses the New Testament word head to describe the role of men, it's not that men are to be dictators and domineering. It's that they're to be like Jesus, to love their wives, to love their children, and to involve themselves for the blessing and well-being and protecting and defending and providing of that which God has entrusted to their care and those whom God has appointed them to love. So headship through love, that's what God's plan for a man in being the head of a family requires. And sometimes, of course, that involves saying no, just like our Heavenly Father sometimes says no to us because he loves us so much. Praise God. Well, my time has come to a close and I must bring this broadcast to an end. I do invite you to note that contact information. I'd love to hear from you. If you're being blessed by the broadcast, please let me know and just drop me a note, either email or by a letter. And until tomorrow, I love you and thank God for your prayer support as well as your financial help. Till then, this is Sister Glass saying may God's best for you.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.